I was standing in the green room.
Oh, God.
And I was looking at your car.
And I was that was very funny.
And I was like, how funny would it be if Jason was just sleeping, just hanging out in his car? He's like, yeah, no, guys, I'm in New York City. I see you.
I got it. Perfect. I love this song. Okay, we'll go from there. We will release this this afternoon.
We will?
Yes.
We can plug the gig tonight.
Yeah, you can plug it. I don't know if it'll do much good, but maybe to your tomorrow night gig.
All right.
Yeah. If people hear this tonight, they might be listening to it as you're on stage.
Yeah. Right, instead of me.
Yeah. So I might give you a little more gain. Andy liked to, because Andy was our last guest on 74. This is number 75. And Andy's kind of a yeller. He gets
Yeah.
Psyched up on the mic.
I'm the opposite of that.
Psyched up on the mic. That should be a rock song.
Andy Kindler's new album.
Psyched up on the mic. I'm psyched up on the mic.
Someone's had to do something close to that. I built this.
You built this?
Yeah.
For this purpose?
Exact purpose, yes.
That's pretty cool.
And I think it really does a good job of kind of absorbing the sound. With the holes in it, it doesn't bounce off. Really? It kind of eats up the sound a little bit. But Chick put up all these little foamy things. Right. And that, I mean, 200% better than what it initially was.
Now, those don't have a name? You guys are in radio. What?
Aralux is a brand, sound-eating foam. I don't know. What do you want to call it, Jeff?
Murderers. They murder the sound.
Sound murderers?
Sound murderers, yep. Okay. It's very intense.
See, this is why we need Chick here. We're just kind of flailing.
Are we going? We're not going, right?
I'm not
going
to let everyone have to listen to all of this, but I am rolling.
I didn't know we're going.
I am rolling.
I got bits.
More interesting when I think I'm being recorded.
What is your shirt? That is just stupid, lame.
Tad Western? It's the rootinest, tootinest good time you're going to have on a podcast, other than this podcast, of course, and other than Quick Snaps, of course.
Hey, <safe. laughs> while we're here... did you release your podcast with Karen?
Not yet. It's going to come out Monday. Okay. The 100th episode of the Jeff Eber podcast.
Okay. JeffEber.com.
JeffEber.com. Karen and Mike.
Oh, Mike Vibbert. Came on?
Yeah. And Mike Vibbert is
with Caitlin?
Yes.
So the four of you. Oh. Why is he in there?
He weaseled his way in.
I'm hearing other people don't care for Spangle.
No, no one likes him. Spangle. Spangle weaseled his way on there because he was going to apologize.
You could tell him no.
He was going to apologize to my mom in person because he made her cry on Christmas Day. He brought up my dead grandma on a Christmas podcast, and it made her think of my grandma that she was having Christmas without for the first time ever.
Right.
And so he never apologized. Didn't bring it up. Didn't even say anything.
Typical libertarian.
Yep.
Let me guess. He's talking about Spangle.
Make a bunch of promises and don't follow through with them. But no, it was a fun podcast. But Mike Vibbert does not know how to hold a microphone. He kept talking, kept putting it in his lap and just talking like, Dad, put it.
Oh, just like
mouth.
Down.
Yeah.
Papa Vibbs?
He's like, you trying to mic that dick?
No mic skills for Papa Vibbs?
No.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get started, the Chick McGee Show, or did we?
No, we're just kind of messing around. We're promoting the Jeff Eber podcast.
Well,
that's what happens when Chick leaves the room.
Let me tell you about TrueCar.com. Here's some numbers for you. 3 million cars sold, 13,000 dealers, 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. Are you kidding me?
Huge numbers.
I'm crunching these.
With an average savings over $3,000. For each customer. Are you
crunching it? That's a lot of money.
You can't, what would you do with $3,000?
Oh, buy another car.
You'd buy another car, a True Car. And you save another $3,000. And again, and again, and again. True Car, you can easily find the car you want. And True Car shows you what other people in your area paid for the same car. You know, you're standing out in your driveway washing your new car and somebody comes over. Let's say it's a Greek neighbor of yours.
What?
And they say... What'd you pay for that? And you say $8, and the Greek guy goes, I got six. I bought mine for six.
Our economy's failing.
Sure. True Car probably wouldn't work very well in Greece, but right now, here in the United States, you're darn right it does. You'll work directly with True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with True Car Certified Dealers. The TCDN, the True Car Certified Dealer Network. And remember, $3,000 off the MSRP. Once you register with True Car, you see real price on actual inventory, cars that exist. Not some make-believe cars from some fairy tale. No, these are real cars. True Car shows their customers all their available incentives before they arrive at the dealership. That gives you knowledge. And what does knowledge give you?
Power.
Power. That's right. We all want power. If Vibbs had knowledge, would he be powerful?
V6 four-wheel power.
That's TrueCar.com. Tell them the Chick McGee Show sent you on Podcast One.
That's a good read, Chick.
Thank you very much.
Are you a professional broadcaster? That's really
smooth. It's a little old fact, Kostaki. I just celebrated. Comedy? I just celebrated my 40th year behind a microphone.
Is that
did
right?
you know that?
I did not know that. Congratulations.
Okay.
No.
No. No. Thank you very much. I have trouble hearing a
number that large.
A compliment. Oh, that's another way to go. See, now I'm familiar with this. Yes. I don't take compliments very well. And
can I ask a question?
Nope.
And this is a toughie.
All right.
And when I've thought about this, I'm glad you brought this up, because I agree with you. He's amazing in a number of different ways. And yes, he has a hard time taking a compliment.
Yeah. See what I'm doing?
Okay. How do you feel about the Radio Hall of Fame and the possibility of you getting inducted someday? Does that
myself?
Yes. Cross your mind?
No,
I've seen other people
I've never
heard of get in, you know, in a, you know, whatever little market. Even Indy alone, you should get in, let alone nationally someday.
These are good points.
I would be honored and incredibly surprised if that would ever happen.
It would be crazy for you not to get in.
As Chick's agent, may I speak for him?
You don't get a cut. There's no money.
No. National, he'll do it. That local stuff doesn't even mess with it. Won't get out of bed for
easy.
It.
I feign illness for statewide honors. You know that. Hi, welcome to the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One.
Oh, nice. I thought you were just making conversation out there.
No. Our guest is Kostaki Economopoulos. All-around good guy, just happens to be a comedian, and he's from
Athens, Georgia, just like this.
Athens, Georgia, just like
band.
Great rock
star. R.E.M.
This one goes out to the one I left behind.
This document.
Yep.
Now, where's my orange crush? What about my spine? Here's my spine.
You got Driver 8 over there? That's the one.
Oh, Driver 8?
That's the college song for me.
The specific song?
What's the name of it?
Driver 8.
Driver. So are these guys, did they pop up in Athens and play a gig every now and then?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
They were one of the go-to fraternity bands in the era before I got to school. And then once I was there, they were huge global rock stars,
but they still
lived in Athens.
They did?
And I saw them several times just wandering around town. Like, they would come and watch other indie bands. They were like a big... Oh, love this song. Yeah, they were... I think they still are. They still live in Athens and support all these local things, and they're politically active.
Well, that's cool as hell.
One of the guy produces and plays with other bands all the time.
Peter Buck.
Peter Buck, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is he Joe Buck's brother, Jack Buck's
son?
Not a
chance. Nope. Not a chance.
That would be weird.
The only Buck. The only Buck I know.
Have you ever been to Eddie's Attic in Atlanta?
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
It's been a while, but yeah. I did a set there.
Is this
there
a strip
once.
Club?
You did a set there. They do. I thought it was only live music. I didn't know they did comedy, too.
I don't think the comedy experiment lasted very long.
Right.
Stage is stage, Jeff.
Exactly, yeah. That's awesome that
they
did that.
Yeah, there was some
stage
Atlanta
time. Got to go up, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I went up last night at the 10 p.m. show at Morty's to run my jokes I wanted to do this morning on the big show. And,
did you really?
Yeah.
That you didn't really get to
very
do?
Very few of those actually got out of my mouth.
Easy,
today.
Big fella.
What?
The point is...
stating fact.
You know who you remind me of, though?
Who's that?
As Roy Wood Jr.
Oh.
Because I see you doing this, and you just told me you did it. When we would almost always, when we would go to a city on the comedy tour and Roy would be on the show, our shows had started like 8, and we'd be, you know, done with everything by like 10:30 or so. And Roy would go find a comedy club in that town and try to get up on stage. And, I mean, this is obviously, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I bet.
Yeah, but, wow. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, he's...
He's doing well for himself.
He's a monster. Man. Yeah, he's got a family and a baby and a steady paying job.
Yeah.
He's special. Not out there balling anymore. Fibs, he's settled down, man. When are you going to do
nerd.
That? You got one speed, don't you?
One speed, and that's party.
Party. That's one speed for Vibs.
Your age starts with a two, right? That's what you're supposed to do.
Yep, right. Exactly.
Well, you're doing it right.
Is that right?
Yeah. You can't get married when your age starts with a two. That's crazy. Oof.
Well, where were you guys almost 40 years ago?
I would have told you.
No, I mean, I'm not 80 years old or anything, but I was on the air when I was 18 years old in October of 1976. Yeah, I sure was. I do it after nudes. Kostaki. And did afternoons you? At that point consisted of noon to six the entire afternoon.
That is an afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now,
go.
Is this an appropriate place for this question? Please tell me if it's not. Is there such a thing as radio groupies like in that era? You were kind of a big fussy thing at the time.
You mean puss? You mean running sure. the crushing?
Crushing
the puss?
Were there some ladies that would throw themselves at you in Kostaki, odd situations here and there?
At that point in my life, no, because at that point in my life, I did not have my nobody. It's just us. It's just us, right? It's just us.
You could say this
if
is a
I tell
place.
You how old I was the first time I had sex, you have to tell me how old you were the first time you had sex.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Vibbert, you all right with that?
Yep, ready.
Hoffy, you all right with that?
Whatever. It's in the past, right, Vib? It's not in the future?
I don't even have a rearview mirror in my car.
Let me tell you something, okay? If you don't like cuss words, turn down the podcast right now. But this motherfucker over here runs the push.
He's doing
Jason's
all right.
Jason's killing
he's
her.
All right.
He's killing
her. I think he has two kids.
Jason. I'm talking about you, Vibbert.
Oh, no. Jason.
Anyway, I was 19 years old.
Wow.
That's not a big deal.
That was an actual spit test.
I was waiting for you to say, like 27.
That was an actual spit
test. The first three women I had sex with, I married them.
Yeah. Lock what? Them down.
Which I do not.
That's an astounding stat.
I do not recommend.
That has, that, wow. No, what year was this happening?
I got married first time in 1977.
It sounds that stat sounds like 1917.
It sounds like it reminds me of what's the M. Night Shyamalan movie where they make believe they're
the
back
village?
In the village. That's what it reminds me of. Yeah, and of course that third wife, which I'm not. Then it was on like Donkey Kong. I made up for some lost time during that. But, yeah, 19 years old. So my answer to your question is no.
Okay.
I found one person at that point and then married her.
Okay.
So,
now,
but she's the mother of my oldest child, actually.
I'm very interested in
a lovely
in you,
person and certainly wouldn't clog the courts with any sort of comments that I'm making right now. Why would you do that?
I like you, and I wanted to hear an answer about you, but also I want the theoretical answer. If it was possible, was that possible? Was that something that was happening?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I had a buddy of mine would – yeah, it would – yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, the first radio station I worked at, I slept in the back. There was a bed. I mean, it was a nice, a weird little apartment, but
really,
there was a bed, and yeah,
you slept in the back.
Yep.
And what are you, like running a pub? What are you talking about? I never heard of that ever.
I've slept in the station that you went to today. I've slept there.
You really? Have?
Yeah.
Huh?
Tom's couch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because
maybe went to a concert in downtown Indy.
Right.
And then I had to be at the station by 6 the next morning. Like, why go all the way home and lose an hour?
Right.
An extra half hour there and a half hour back. And it's 5 hours till I need to be back here.
It's not my fault you live in Merrillville, okay?
I don't live in Merrillville. I live in Knob City, chick.
Knob City! So, I was 19 years old. Kostaki.
Oh,
well, it's coming back around.
Oh, we're really doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing it.
I remember the stat when I was in high school was 50% of high school kids have sex by the time they turn 17.
Okay.
And so I was driven to be above average. I wanted to have sex before I turned 17, so I was in the top half of the field.
So you did.
And I got it in by 2 months.
So 16, that's awesome. 16 years old and
almost
10
17,
months.
Yeah. It was
Really?
I was born on Christmas Day, right. And it was Halloween night.
You and your holidays.
I know, wow. It's weird. I only remember because we went
you want to see him on Flag Day.
We went to a haunted house.
Flag.
That's a hilarious image.
Flag.
It was my parents' house. Went to a haunted house at the local college.
Oh, and she was scared to put her arm around her.
She stayed over.
Perhaps you'll feel better if you touch this.
Okay. Charlie Brown sheets.
No kidding?
Which I kept on my bed kind of ironically as a high school kid because I thought it was funny that I still had all these like kid sheets in my parents' house. And
did she giggle a little bit?
You were a budding comedian.
Did she giggle a little bit when she saw the sheets?
Oh, she had been there. Yeah, she knew. I didn't pick her up at the haunted house. This is my girlfriend.
Okay. So you'd been boyfriend-girlfriend for how long?
I guess that school year. So a couple 3 months by that point.
So how
She was younger.
Yeah. Oh, she was younger?
She was younger. I went to two proms. My junior year, I took Alicia Patton. My senior year, I took Becky Patton.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Sisters?
Sisters. I went to the same house to pick up a different girl for prom back to back. Now, the prior year.
That's amazing. Wow. How did you pull the switch like
it's
that?
It's not as awful sounding as it sounds.
No, there's nothing awful.
Amazing.
No. Baller.
It was kind of the opposite, actually. Alicia.
Oh, you won't kiss me? Wait. How about your sister?
Wait. Kostaki, they were sisters?
They were sisters. Alicia. Nice. Alicia kind of arranged the prom, the junior, amongst a bunch of us got sort of paired off to go to the prom. We weren't really dating.
All right.
And the following year, I was seriously dating Becky the whole year.
Becky.
So
they called her the general.
And the following year, my friend Pete, quick story, was dating Alicia that year. And for Valentine's Day, we cleared this with the parents because we were cool with them.
You swapped?
We arranged this. No swapping. Oh. But we did arrange with the parents. And Valentine's Eve, we snuck over there in the middle of the night and planted two rose bushes. And we marked them Becky's bush and Alicia's bush. And we thought that was the funniest shit we ever heard in our whole lives.
But the parents would go, oh, my gosh, that's beautiful. They planted rose bushes.
Did they get it?
They got it, of course. Yeah, their parents were cool. That was one of the houses where we could go and stay late and hang out.
Yeah. Smoke dope.
Yeah, well. No, I didn't do that at that point. I drank some beer now and again.
All right.
It's in the past.
All right, we're going to save Vibbert for last. Hoffy, what? How old?
Not high school.
It was after high school.
After high school.
So 18.
No.
19?
I think I was 20. Deep. Here's the thing.
Deep into college.
Yeah, and it was high school. I had plenty of girly friends.
Girlfriends?
Never had a girlfriend in high school.
Okay.
The fact that you called them girly friends.
Not that I didn't.
You mean like Vibbert?
I don't think I ever asked a girl out on a date in high school. I was a late bloomer kind of kid.
Yeah. All right.
And plus I know this might sound a little whatever, but I had a bunch of great guy friends and we just hung out all the time. And maybe one or two of them kind of occasionally dated girls, but we just a bunch of bros.
Now, so did you have anxiety about this not happening until later?
No.
It just kind of came and
I mean, would have I invited it? Yes. But, you know, you're kid, you're just that there's a 2-3 year period where life is just weird. You don't know what's going on up here and down there.
Where were you guys when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I could have really used this talk.
But see, I made up for it all because I got married at 22.
Oh.
Wow, that's so fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I was kind of patient.
You know what?
But I was like, I found the right guy also.
I got married when I was 20, and it really didn't – I thought I was late to the game. Everything's, you know, everybody's smarter now.
The last 10, 15 years, it's a lot different.
That's what they should do instead of doing these studies about how much money people make and how many – you know, all these stats. They should come up with what has the average – not only intelligence quotient, but emotional quotient of people in the United States has had to have gone way up since the 70s. You know what I mean? Because
you feel more emotion up and down.
I mean, people,
I agree.
People, you know, are so much more savvy about
well, if we're going to have sex, we're going to have to get married. You know, and that's obviously
yeah,
silly. All right, player.
My story's not that great. 18. I was 18.
No, you're lying.
Wait a minute. Hang on. How old were you?
18.
Too loud.
That was a whole
in a water heater closet at a party. Woo!
That's better. Yeah. Is that for reals?
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious.
From behind or?
Oh. No.
How do you get from the front in a water heater closet?
How big
it was
it?
It was a big water heater closet. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah.
50 gallon?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It was a family of eight. What? They had to have the biggest tank. It wasn't.
She had a gigantic tank. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were saying? So was this in a basement? Obviously,
yeah,
the water
it was
heater?
In a basement. God. It was at a party. People paired off.
That's nice.
I was safe.
That's ridiculous.
I wore a condom. Funny. I went out and asked my buddy for one.
Hey, I like that story.
I think it's gonna go down.
So you go into the water. You start making out.
They go be discreet about it. They're fucking in the closet.
I was just in New York at an Airbnb.
Jason was in New York.
Yeah,
New York.
Yes, I'm familiar. New York.
And it was, you know, you can hear the wood floors. Sorry, chick, are the worst. These are good. These are good.
These are solid as far as wood floors
go. You hear everything. Yeah, yeah. Right. And we could totally hear the people up above having a good time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just had that rhythm.
Were they a part of your party?
No.
Having a good time, you heard carnival music?
Yeah, they're making popcorn.
Oh, yeah, and, cotton candy machine.
Cotton candy.
And then the Calliope.
And it was just weird. I haven't heard other people having sex in a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't recall much. I remember seeing some people across the way one time having a good time.
Yeah.
Through the glass window that was wide open.
Inside a house?
Oh, yeah. Was that
in the Bahamas?
No, this was townhomes. You know, just a building parallel with another building. So your front's looking at their back. And so they had these big, three big glass windows with the
just
wide open. Yeah.
So in this story, I'm 10 years old. At my parents' old house.
Hey, can we get a segue? Set this up a little better.
Just hang on. You'll see.
All right.
I'm at my parents' old house, and we backed up to a field, and then the other houses down there backed up to like a field and a pond. And I'd go back to my fort, and...
Oh, remember the fort? He told the fort story. He's telling the fort story again, Jason.
Not the fort story.
I never told the fort story.
Yeah, you've never told the fort story.
So I'm going back. I'd go back there, and like my friends and I would hang back there on the railroad tracks and all that stuff. And one day I'm walking by... And my next door neighbor doesn't have blinds or curtains, and she is just completely naked in her bathroom window, chained. And I'm just, 2 weeks later, she comes over to our house and is talking to my mom. She's like, yeah, it's just so nice living where we do. We don't have to have curtains because no one's ever back there. And I was like, I saw everything.
You're
10? You need curtains. Yeah, I just remember being
terrified. Can you envision it in your head?
I can see it as clear as day.
Blonde, brunette, redhead, what do we got?
She was a bigger woman.
Blonde?
Big, saggy.
Blonde, brunette?
Redhead.
Redhead?
Yeah. Like, dyed red, though. Her hair. Up top.
What the hell?
It was bad.
Now,
I feel like this is a therapy session. I haven't told this to anyone except my brother.
Did he see it?
No.
Did you tell anybody when you were 10? Like, all your buddies?
No. I was afraid I'd get in trouble. Because they're like, why are you looking in her window? I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't. I was at my fort.
I recall, and this is very, it almost feels like it's out of a movie, but I recall it as probably a 10 to 12-ish year old. It was summertime, you know, had to go to a babysitter because I had a younger sister. So I wasn't old enough to take care of her. And this house had a couple other kids. But there was a daughter who was a little older. I don't recall how old. I'm guessing high school. And it was an older house. And I remember looking through the keyhole of the room and seeing this girl.
Nice.
Like right out of a movie. And, of course, she's in my mind to this day, she's beautiful, you know, these curves. But I don't remember what she actually looked like. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Through the keyhole. That's great.
Yeah.
You don't
through
even
the
see
keyhole.
Those anymore.
I know.
Those are over. The keyhole.
No, right through the room.
Jackie, you ever seen a naked woman?
Yeah, I like a naked woman.
Did you ever see Peeping Tom Kostaki ever at the university? You guys probably a bunch of hippies down there in Athens, probably trading pictures of people.
Now I do have sort of the classic grown-up stories of finding porn was like a major issue. You know, like you couldn't just boom and there's porn. We had to have a cinder block in the woods, and there you'd have to trek through.
You'd have to find
a shack in the middle of nowhere, and that's where porn would be.
Out in the woods.
In a bag. We knew where to find it.
A hollow stump in the woods.
It was a thing. You had to go find it.
You guys are on the internet, right?
I was still before the internet, and I remember there was
really?
The internet wasn't always around. Like, I didn't get – I had dial-up until my senior year of high school.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Huh. What year did you graduate?
2009.
What? So you're way behind.
Yeah, well, we were behind, but YouTube wasn't around until 07.
Let everybody...
But if 2000, you could get porn in 2000.
Let's everybody process that. Jeff Vibbert graduated high school in 2009. But go ahead.
The early, like the 90s, there was still porn.
I wonder what I was doing in 2009. I was probably sitting right here, more or less, in this general...
Think about it. When we actually discussed this yesterday on the plane, Kostaki, the 07, 08, how the economy just took a complete shit.
Right.
He was in high school. He could have cared less.
Right. Right.
It didn't affect him at all.
Oh, it affected my stocks and my econ class. Because Leo Westrick, Little Miss Perfectionist, was like, we need to research these stocks. And I go, I want to buy stocks in Steak and Shake because it's delicious and people love Steak and Shake. That's not going to be affected by the economy. Everyone's stocks went horribly. Steak and Shake skyrocketed. And I rubbed it in her face and I still do. Leo Westrick, you can suck it.
Right. Where's she now?
Seems a little. She's a CEO of Steak and Shake. Yeah. And
oh, that's
you were
funny.
In your econ class.
Yep, she's married and in Texas.
Criminy.
But I used to do a joke about how hard it was to watch porn on dial-up. See if I could pull this out of my ass from that era. It would be faster to court a woman and ask for her hand in marriage.
Well, didn't the picture?
Yeah, it would.
It would just you'd get the top of it. Like, you'd see her face and everything first, and then it's like, okay, where?
See, I remember guys. I can tell you the year 95. Guys would you don't know what it's going to look like. You click the button,
right?
And it takes forever. I mean, they'd leave the room.
You'd go run an errand and then
come back and go, oh, man, all right, try another
click
one.
Click another one.
Yeah.
I plainly remember.
That's right.
So dumb. That's 94, 95, Jeff.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what program we were, TV program we were talking about on the Bob and Tom Show one morning. This is like 10 years ago or whatever. And part of it was, or you could watch online. And we're like, how the hell are you going to watch it online? Yeah. It's like jerks and stops and skips.
Yep.
And now you can watch it on your fucking phone anytime you want.
Yep.
When we first got the internet, I used to look up pictures of Jessica Alba's butt and print them off. Just me sitting at a computer going, that's a good butt. Oh, a good job. And printing it off. And I'm sure they were gone out of my room. And like my mom found just a pile of Jessica Alba's butt.
She have that good a butt?
You know what?
I don't know.
It's no wonder that Karen kills a shrimp platter. She had you as a son, okay?
I feel bad for her every day. And the older I get, the worse I feel. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Tell them about the McDonald's thing.
In first grade for career day, I dressed up as a McDonald's worker.
Because that's what he wanted to do.
I wanted to do it. And my math teacher was like, if you don't learn this, you're going to be working at McDonald's. And I was like, that sounds amazing. I'm in first grade. I eat chicken nuggets every day. I want to do that.
But then you obviously at some point switch to Steak and Shake.
Oh, God, Steak and Shake's so
good.
That
is a bad threat for a child. I love McDonald's.
Right? I love it.
That's funny.
Did you have a first dream job, Kostaki, or did you always want to be a comedian? I always thought you were funny.
Well, This is true. One of the phases was I wanted to be a garbage man because it was
– I wanted to be a garbage man.
These guys would come by and
– No, it's not – well, I knew they worked 5 days a week, but you were riding around on the back of the truck.
It was riding on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And they would jump off while it was still moving, and then they would jump on when it was
– Think how fit those guys probably were.
Yeah. I mean
they had to be so
fit. There's a little something to that. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So fit. Have you seen the YouTube video of the little kid who has the garbage truck and the garbage men are like – heroes.
Oh, and they come
and they get off and they give him a hug and he's so excited. It's the cutest thing ever. If you want to cry today, go look that up.
That probably happened to you when you went to McDonald's. Did they come out and hug you and stuff?
No, I just got lost in the ball pit. My parents left me there.
Kostaki, don't you have a little – aren't you dropping an album soon? How soon
I am. It's actually end of May. It actually drops, as
I thought
they
say. It was today. Oh, you pre-ordered
but
today?
You can pre-order it now. We have a big pre-order window because of the nature of – that's a long answer with my producer and blah, blah, blah.
That's the big deal of pre-orders. That's a big damn deal.
Well, here's the trick that I'm learning, I learned. When they rank these sort of things, all the pre-orders count in the first week.
Oh.
So if you can get some movement during that month or so, you could be number one on the comedy charts that week, even if, you know, it's not technically
that
week.
There's always this theory that there's only one kid, an intern, who works at Apple or iTunes that keeps track of the podcast, keeps track of – what the number one albums are.
Millions of dollars of trading hands.
Yeah, and it's somebody like Vibbert. And because of what Vibbert says, all the recorded material shifts $1 million one way or the other because of what he thinks.
Well, it's the way radio stations used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd pay to get on.
Yeah.
This guy just happens to control the entire country or world for that matter.
Right.
On the charts.
Everybody has their own... their own syndicated – everybody can have easily their own syndicated radio show, their own album release party, their own movie, their own, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, we were talking about that just before. It's – you know, in the old days, you could do The Tonight Show and be famous the next day. Those days are over. The good news is you don't have to wait for a suit to anoint you.
Right.
You can just go bubble it up through the universe. So this is an album I co-produced with my buddy. He's starting a label and I'm his first album.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story. And I shouldn't share too many details just yet because it's not officially out. But it's a pretty cool story. And it's from, you know, like my – you know, Brass Ring Club in Minneapolis that headlined me first club to ever headline me almost 20 years ago.
And it's a great club.
Acme, it's a great club. Yeah. It's really a pleasure to go work that club. Yeah. All the details. It's downstairs. It's a stone walls and great sound and smart comics booked there forever.
You did a gig there where you did a new set every single night. Is that?
Oh, they do a thing once a year in the spring. In fact, it was last week.
Oh.
It's four comics. Uh-huh. It's called Crash and Burn. And on Tuesday, you're not allowed to say anything you've ever said on stage before. And the goal is to have a decent 20 minutes by Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So Tuesday, you're literally reading jokes out of your phone or whatever and seeing if anything sticks at all. And then the whole week is this crazy rat race of rewriting what works and cutting what sucks and trying to build 20 minutes out of nothing.
Were you able to take any of the 20 minutes?
Some, but mostly most of it didn't stick in the act. Most of it didn't make the cut. Mm-hmm. But the process was so great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be in that – to have a crowd that gets it and is there and understands what you're doing, you know, at least on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they're kind of like, those are the hardcore fans. They want to see you just sweating it out and floundering. Crash and Burn is a great name for what's happening. And then, you know, the goal is by late show Saturday to have it enough in your mouth that you're not even using notes.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing, like, comedy crucible. You know, it was cool experience.
Well, you told me that part of the reason that you started doing the NFL jokes or the segment or the quick snaps was that it stretched the muscle for you to discipline yourself into writing something.
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason. That's part of the reason I ended up doing the Econo Monologue, the original Kostaki segment back in the day. And
Kostaki, Economopolis.
That's right. We should play that once in a while.
Yeah, we need to
pull that up. Yeah. Dust that off.
Working on it.
Make a note here.
Okay. I should call you guys in a couple of weeks right before the draft. So maybe we could play it then. Yeah. There's a little Kostaki, planting a seed.
Economopolis.
So actually what happened was the traction I got from Bob and Tom was beginning to change my world as far as going to clubs and having people come see me on purpose. So I pitched the all football version of it to sports radio. And while sports radio was saying, we love this, but we don't do this. They're very X's and O's and serious.
I hate it when people answer a question about something you love with, yeah, we love that.
We don't
do it.
We don't do that. Why not? It's so weird. Okay. So, and Bob and Tom were having consultants discuss, and they were sort of rejiggering the whole, you know, situation with some of the regular call-in characters. And while my pitches were floundering in the sports radio universe, the all-football version of the Econo-Monologue was sort of sticking, had some traction, and had more life than the prior version did. So I just embraced it and made it all-football.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And now you've got the podcast?
Now it's a podcast called Quick Snaps.
Quick Snaps on iTunes and wherever finer podcasts are offered.
That's all true.
Yep.
All free, about 35, 40 minutes on Mondays during the season and about once a month in the off-season.
There is no off season.
Yeah, there really isn't. Oh, thank God.
Vibbert and I have said this since February. What was Super Bowl 5th, 6th? What day was it? I forget.
5th.
5th. We've been saying this since late February 5th. Man, this is going to be a long off season.
Yeah. Especially for me.
Yeah, when you win, it's pretty good. I mean, did you know the Patriots they can't find a place for their 5th Super Bowl banner. They don't have space in their stadium. Ugh. It's been a big deal and
it's okay to say fuck you into this mic, right?
Yeah.
No, I think the biggest fuck you is that the Patriots and their fans celebrate the day March 28th.
Yeah.
From now on.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That is the biggest.
I have to say that's funny, though.
Jerk move I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, that was a hard day.
Although I can't because Redskins were down. Of course, they kept showing that during the biggest comebacks, and the Redskins were down by 10-0 to the Broncos in Super Bowl 22. Not that I know a lot about it. But, I mean, they scored 35 points in that second quarter. And, you know, up until fucking Patriots took that mantle. I mean, everything you want to know about me can be – you can look at Super Bowl 22. I mean, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
We all know it. But so I understand how you guys –
That was a hard one. It's the only sporting event I ever got 100% emotionally invested in. So sure. I'm still not over it. That was hard.
And to feel the highest of almost highs. Yeah. You could have got a little bit higher if you won.
And my brother was at the game.
Oh, my God.
And he survived leukemia. And like – But okay. There was a crazy sequence of things.
Don't make me feel bad about
that. What about
that? Well, you should. There was a crazy sequence of events. My brother had also bet on the Falcons to win like before the season, some crazy odds.
Okay.
And so his whole trip would have been paid for if they won.
Oh.
And I had some also very weird $25 thing that it was the playoffs, and I picked Falcons to beat Patriots in the Super Bowl, and I would have won like $1,400.
Oh.
And it was like good against evil and the establishment and Trump's friends. It became like this giant good against evil thing in my head. That was a tough one. And the darkest joke I wrote that night was, at least when you're a Falcons fan and you slit your wrists, you get to die in your own team colors.
Oh, Jesus.
I loved it. It was very dark.
You know, I'm sure I've asked you this question before, but you seem like the most erudite, the most academic, your mom and dad.
I try to not care about sports.
No, and you were so the only thing – I talked to you like 3 or 4 times before the Super Bowl when the Falcons are in the playoffs and they're just rolling over. You kept saying, I'm really upset about how much I care right now.
I know. I knew it was going to be a problem.
Yeah. It's just like I know this. Intellectually, I'm setting myself up
That's
for –
That's exactly right.
But that – I mean, how do you explain to your brain what you do as far as comedy goes? Because it's not – I mean, you don't see – I mean, other than Noel Coward or George Bernard Shaw, I mean, you really don't see – not that people who do stand-up comedy are basic people. I don't want to say that, but you know what I'm trying to
– Yeah.
Can you understand what I'm saying, you fucking idiot? Can you –
Say it slower.
It doesn't seem like you could have been what? Like a research chemist or like a –
Yeah, right. I'd probably be teaching American government somewhere.
Teaching American government, you know, and
you know what it was?
The bigger picture.
To go back to Athens, in that era, I had some hardcore football friends, right? And we when the schedule came out for the Bulldogs, like you grabbed your calendar and you made your plans for the year that day.
Right, right.
Like you circled those six Saturdays or whatever.
And
it
the
was.
Biggest cocktail party. It's the world's largest cocktail party.
It's crazy how that's the center of your universe.
Yeah.
So we would get up at like whatever 7 a.m. and start drinking and playing Guns N' Roses and tailgating for these 1 o'clock games. And it was like the whole weekend was built around it, the whole month, the whole year. And there were a couple of my buddies after the game, if the Bulldogs lost, show's over. They were not having fun. And I just thought, that is no way to go through life. We live in Athens, Georgia.
That's right.
The Bulldogs just played. I don't give a fuck if they win or not. I want to party.
Yeah, you know? Let's do
and
it.
And so I have always kind of had that in my heart of like, I don't want to care so much that it ruins my day.
Yeah.
Especially when on a party day that you've been looking forward to for the whole.
Yeah.
And so I knew it was trouble when I really started to give a shit. And it ruined my day. Mm. It was so hard for me to write jokes that night. I was so upset.
Was there a time during the Super Bowl where you go, it's over. This is it.
Yes.
You won.
Yes.
When was that?
Yes. 28-3. Yeah. Late third quarter.
I think even
the interception.
I'm going to speak.
I thought, oh, this is over.
I'm going to speak for you. When they missed, it was 28-3, got a scored a touchdown, missed the extra point. Yeah. I'm like, it's just not the Patriots.
So it was like, so it was like
that
20,
was the point.
Me nine.
As a, you know,
that picture that ended up kind of famously on one of the Boston papers of Brady and on the ground and the, you know, the quarterbacks running away from him for the touchdown. That was the moment I thought,
that was still early.
This is
though.
It, though. We were going to win this game. And then, of course, late in the third quarter. And then you could even say, like, when Julio made that crazy catch at the end, well, all they have to do is kick a field goal. This is done. And according to my brother, that was the moment that all the Patriots fans around him were like, oh, okay, we lose this game. And then still.
Yeah, let's throw it. Let's throw it. What would you argue, either both of you?
That's crazy.
I have a Falcons fan. I have a Patriots fan. At that point, one more run in the fourth quarter versus a pass would have ended that game.
Are you glad Kyle Shanahan?
Timing-wise, you wouldn't have had the time.
Kyle Shanahan has nothing to do with the team anymore. I would imagine you're pretty glad about that.
It's the best offense in the NFL for the whole season.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the guy for that.
Yeah.
But – technically, the Patriots are the best defense statistically.
Right.
But no, the what Belichick was talking about is he said, a lot of times teams stop playing the clock and try to play the team. Or you're playing against the team instead of the clock. Like, play against the clock, run it.
Eventually, that's
the mistake. That's made. Where
Right. Obviously,
it was arrogant.
You run the ball there in retrospect.
Was it arrogance, hubris, you think?
Oh, I think so. It's like, this is what got us here. We're going to keep doing it.
Well, what it is, I think, is the fear of it being the opposite problem, where you start being super conservative, and then they question that when that doesn't work.
But right? You're up 15-16. Because they had to score two times and get two point conversions.
I think coaches in the moment get a little scared and they get flustered and they make bad mistakes.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
I think it's a bad
mistake. Weak.
Yeah.
It was weak.
But I want to argue with you about overtime because you were wrong about overtime.
Well, how am I wrong about
that? Let's do it after the break.
Oh, all there's a break?
All right. I'm wrong. We're going to take a break.
I get it. It's getting ahead of steam.
But first, we'll be back with Kostaki Economopoulos and Quick Snaps. That's his podcast. And Kostaki, what's your website?
Kostaki.com.
It is just Kostaki.
One of the many advantages of being named Kostaki.
Kostaki.com.
Very smart.
Okay. Go visit that. And if you're here, this is going to be same day delivery. We're going to have this today. If you're anywhere near Vincennes, Indiana tonight, come join us at some place. What is it?
The Highland Woods.
Highland Woods
Community Center. It's got a long title.
It's a show out in the woods.
we'll be finding porn.
I'll be showing Dirty Magazines.
And tomorrow I'm in Logansport, Indiana.
Oh, that's a nice
Saturday night.
The night of the Super
April
Bowl.
April 15th. Happy Tax Day.
I'm going to tell you about Casper Mattresses.
Oh.
Huh? What do you think?
More REM.
Everybody hurts.
Not if you sleep on a Casper mattress.
That's right.
You're darn right.
That's right, Chick McGee. Tell me more.
You're darn right. You know, mattresses can cost well over $1,500, but not at Casper Mattress. They're obsessively, what am I trying to say, Jeff?
You got it.
Engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price because they have just the right sink and just the right bounce. Two technologies. You got your latex foam, you got your memory foam. And they come together for one great mattress, a life well slept.
I love it.
Risk-free trial and return policy. Try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days. Get a load of this. If you don't like it, send it back. Free shipping, painless returns. That's all there is to it. Why wouldn't you try this?
So easy. So
why
simple.
Wouldn't you? The Casper is now the most awarded mattress of the decade. And here's the really great thing. $500 for a twin-size mattress, up to $950 for a California king-size mattress. And mattresses cost, I don't know, $40,000, $50,000. You can pay for that.
I would love a California king mattress. More room for me and the dogs.
$950.
I'm getting a Casper.
There you go. And, ladies and gentlemen, now, did I just say ladies and gentlemen, you get $50 toward any mattress purchase just by visiting, here's the website, caspertrial.com/chick. Show the podcast that's some you. Love, please.
That's you.
Please, dear God, show the podcast some love. caspertrial.com/chick and use the promo code 50SLEEP, 50SLEEP. Terms and conditions apply. That's Casper Mattress, $500 for a twin, $950 for a California king, a blend of latex and memory foam, just the right sink, just the right balance.
$900 if you use the promo code.
$900, what?
$950 minus 50, $900.
No, it's 50 sleep is the promo code.
But I'm just, never mind.
Stop it. CasperTrial.com/chick. Use the promo code 50SLEEP. Don't listen to Jeff Vibbert. Apologize.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, listener.
We'll be back with part two of the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Yeah. Smoky in here. Honking up the hooch.
I don't think you honk it up.
Dank? Crushing puss, huffing
dank?
No,
you do what you want.
Yeah, I can honk up hooch if I want. We got one speed on this side of the room, and that's...
Party!
Party over here. You want to party, come over here. If you don't...
If you want to get some work done for the people that party, come over here.
Okay.
Hey, there's movers and there's shakers.
And we're...
It's a tough pitch.
It is.
Welcome back to the Chick McGee Show, part two on podcast one. Our guest this week is Kostaki Economopoulos, real name Martin Van Sleet, but Kostaki is a stage name. No, of course not. What's the whole name? Go ahead, give it to me.
Konstantinos Christos Vasilis Economopoulos. Hey, you want to hear about my April Fool's joke?
Nope.
This is my
that you just did 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. Go!
This is my, I would love to hear
this. This is my wife's idea. My cousin, Konstantinos Leonidas Economopoulos, just had a child.
Is that how you say that, Leonidas? I see that all the time. Like Ted Leonidas, who owned the Cavaliers there for a little bit?
Yes. I think that's the same name.
Okay, go ahead.
Had a baby. And they hadn't named the baby for a couple weeks, which I never even heard of before. How do you leave the hospital without a birth certificate?
Interestingly, yes, last night, part of the Fast of the Furious Part 8 is there's a baby born. I don't want to say whose baby it is, but they left the first name of the baby up to the father.
JeffFibber.com.
The baby, yeah. But the baby was what, like... 8 months old?
Yeah, the
old.
Baby. The baby was maybe a year. It was close to a year old.
It was saying words. It was saying dad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know.
It was saying
that's
it was,
over a year. Yeah. No name.
No name.
No name.
No. It had a middle name.
How
no
do they
name.
Refer to the child?
Baby.
Baby. Baby.
So dumb.
Vin Diesel at one point goes, baby.
I think Kostaki was telling a story.
Baby.
Hey, you know what?
Yes, go ahead, Kostaki. So you didn't name the baby.
So we
not you, your cousin, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
seven.
My wife seven. And I made up a preposterous name and presented it to my daughter as the new baby's
oh,
name.
Oh, you told her this is what
yeah,
it
yeah.
is.
So hang picked. On. You're playing April Fool's jokes
on an 8-year-old.
On an 8-year-old girl.
She, okay, more backstory. Okay. She requested it because she figured out that she wasn't going to be with us on April 1st. And so she's like, oh, can we do April Fool's like the next time I see you? And we said yes. And then, of course, she forgot about it. So on whatever it was, April 4th, we pick her up from school.
Oh.
And we bring her home and we show her this sort of doctored email that we put together from my cousin. And she forgot it was April Fool's Day. So it was even better.
Well, she forgot it was April Fool's Day.
Because it wasn't.
Her,
right. Because it wasn't. Yeah.
Right. And the calendar is cooperating on
when
your
you
side.
Share a kid. You right. have to have these. Today's oh. your birthday. You know,
oh,
it's
know.
Christmas today. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You have yeah. to do that.
Yeah.
So we did it with April Fool's, too.
Court order.
So what, do you recall okay. the name?
Well,
I wonder if I could pull it up on email. But either way, we'll just make it up. It's we just like started riffing the most Greek sounding words in the English language sure. that she might not know. And so it was some so version of
cauliflower,
psoriasis, yeah. mitochondria, laryngitis. We put Larry laryngitis, in parentheses. Yeah. And we explained to her that
laryngitis, call him Larry. That's great.
That his father's, his grandfather's name is laryngitis, but he goes by Larry for short.
That's amazing. I love
everything about that. And it was like 17 of these, you know, and she was like, wow, that's a really weird name, you know.
17?
Not 17, but it was, it might have been 8. We tried to make that's it ridiculous, amazing. But still within the realm of possible.
Know. 8's still too many.
You have 4,
I have
and that's
4,
too many.
And it's ridiculous. I almost you had Apollo. That. I almost isn't had it, Apollo added to it, my name as well.
Really? That'd have been
Apollo?
Awesome.
I was born in 69, the year that the American spacecraft with the Greek name landed on the moon. My grandfather was pressing for Apollo to be
born. That'd have been sweet cool. name, yeah.
How did cool. that? I don't know how they didn't name you Apollo with a grandfather pressing for it.
I guess they didn't want me to have to beat chicks off with a stick.
That's like that's like an act of
you grew up named
law
Apollo,
by right? a grandfather that's... in a Greek family.
Yeah, right.
Son of a gun. All right. Isn't it great, though, when they're still like 8, 9, 10, and they're still sweet little babies? And
yeah.
And the worst thing they can say is, wow, that's an interesting name. And then they get to be... adults, then they
the next
they,
3 to 4 years they grow so fast.
They look at you, what mature. The fuck's the deal with this name? What's yeah. his problem? Bunch of
I hate my dumb fucking dumb.
I hate you.
I wish I were never born.
Shit like that, and then.
Then you get a dog.
And then you get a dog for him to calm Woo! Him down. The Chick McGee Show brought to you by BarkBox. You guys know about BarkBox.
We just need Nora on.
My BarkBox is coming.
A loop.
Did you order a BarkBox for Nora yet?
They have a little Chinese takeout box with little like dumpling toys. I'm getting it for her.
Are you going to get it for her?
Oh, yeah. She all deserves right. the best.
Every month, BarkBox, Paw Picks,
I gotcha.
The best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies. And if you have a heavy chewer, they even have indestructible chewies. All edibles, of course, made in the United States or Canada. 100% of BarkBox's products tested on animals. And BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats for your, the kings and queens, or the two queens, or the kings of your castle, from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Each monthly box from BarkBox is themed County Fair, Bark Ball, Pooh York City, Brooklyn Hipster. New and unique toys continue to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. There's nothing sadder than going somewhere and getting a toy for your dog and bringing it home. And they go,
Pooh York City?
Pooh
York
City.
That's amazing.
Pooh York City. And if your dog does not like something in the box, Scout's Honor, BarkBox will send you something they will love for free. Because BarkBox wants your dog to be happy almost as much as you want your dog to be happy. That's a tall order, but it's true.
How do you get it, Chick?
Free shipping on BarkBox within the continental United States. And when your dog falls in love, there's a baby. She's a sweet, big, sweetie baby pumpkin face. From the box, you can easily find it again on BarkShop.com or the BarkBox app. Or you can just text them, and they'll call you or get a hold of you. Go to GetBarkBox.com/Chick. If you use that code, you get a free extra month. A free extra month of BarkBox. Visit getbarkbox.com/chick when you subscribe. Get an extra month, and you know how we love dogs on this side of the room. Sure. The partiers over here.
Yep. How would Mrs. Monkey feel about that extra month?
She loved the extra month. She got these dog chews made out of cheese, and I love my BarkBox. I don't think Kostaki knows Mrs. Monkey's voice.
But my Mrs. Monkey, she's kind of talked like this, but she's really not very smart. But she doesn't know Kostaki, but she loved you.
Yeah,
she's smart enough to know she likes stuff in BarkBox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
GetBarkBox.com/chick. Do it. Show some love for the podcast. Now, Kostaki Economopoulos, our misinformed guest this week. Evidently
we're
is
fixing to fight
is for the all new overtime rules in the NFL.
No, I'm not even
bringing Jeff Vibbert into this. I don't know where he feels how he feels about the overtime
I think
rules.
You
in
and
NFL.
I are going to anchor the ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
because you're from another world where you have sex and you get married right away, right?
That's right.
And that's how you feel about old-fashioned overtime. That's you like right. sudden death.
I like sudden death.
Right.
If you can't get it taken care of by midnight or 2 in the morning, just get up and go home.
Because during your football formative years...
That's the way you play.
That's the way it was.
That's right. You flip the coin and...
I understand your point of view.
You hold him, the defense holds him, then you kick a field goal.
I understand how one might connect with old-fashioned things like that.
My point, you can make analytics and numbers say anything you want them to say. Okay, well, 62% of people who with the teams who with the coin flip kick a field goal and win the game. Tough shit, okay?
Oh, I remember seeing a statistic that said the team that wins it wins the coin toss doesn't always win. They win less.
There, yeah, see? Yeah, that's
I have a real world solution.
Oh God.
Because right now, regardless, there's too much chance with a coin. Eliminate the chance, leave it up to the players. Here's how you do it. You set the ball at the 50-yard line.
Oh, I like this.
And you have the guys at the goal line and the blows a whistle and whoever gets the ball and where they end up, it's sort of rugby-ish at first. Boom, you start
and
playing. Where they end up?
Whoa. Here's the thing.
That leaves it up 100% to who? The players.
The players.
The one dude.
The one player.
Who's a player on that team. Player, but
it's not, you know, it's you an interesting notion.
You should have the team do it.
A coin shouldn't even be
but
there.
But in the XFL, they did that. They when the kickoff, remember, they did it, but they came from the same direction and grabbed the ball. They ran.
Oh, they came from the same direction.
I mean, that's going to be a hell of a collision.
Right? To start the game... The start of an XFL game, the ball was at the 50, and there were two players on the goal line, and they would run the same direction from that goal line, and whoever grabbed the ball, that's who got the ball first.
That's probably to eliminate a massive collision.
But the idea, better idea is to come from each goal line and run into each other and try to grab the ball.
Is this not a competition?
Now are
they playing a game?
We can invent 47 crazy, interesting answers.
No, just one.
There is an answer that's already on the table that has been refined that is beautiful, and it is called college football overtime.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's
then
you awesome.
Each get a chance.
It turns a NFL game – and then it's like it's like Jimmy Fallon has turned his talk show into a kids' party. It's the same way.
That's your best argument so far.
You turn the NFL game after 60 minutes, it's tied. Then you turn it into a scrimmage. Oh, we're all going to get the ball at the 25, and then the coaches are going to come and blow the whistle. Bullshit. No. You flip the coin. Whoever gets the coin,
yep.
Even
if the NFL's best offense of the season doesn't touch the ball to decide the championship of the whole league.
But it's about all three phases: offense, defense, special teams.
Maybe your team is really good at offense and not good at the other.
Well, then they should have thought about that.
They shouldn't win the game then. Regardless, if they're the best offense doesn't have a decent defense, then they deserve to lose the game.
Look, these guys are peak athletes. They're warriors. They're gladiators. They should fight with swords to the death. That's what I think.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I like this idea.
We can all agree on.
You oil them up. You get them out there.
Greco-Roman wrestling.
Gronk against J.J. Watt. Who wouldn't watch that?
Okay. Oh, I'd pay millions.
J.J. Watt's never going to play in a Super Bowl.
So you – oh, my gosh. I think you're right about that.
Well, I mean –
I think you might be right about it. Unless he gets traded to
– Who's the quarterback?
The Patriots or the Falcons or something.
Was this a true storyline? I only caught pieces of it. But did Houston kind of think they were going to have a shot at Tony Romo?
Yeah, that was the
– Is that legit?
Well, I don't know if that was a legit story or it was in the minds of sports cat. I've heard that the whole thing about him going to Denver – was everybody
that made
was
sense
trying.
Because of Peyton? No,
but that doesn't. I mean, he wasn't
either.
He's
one of
not
us.
The quarterback Peyton Manning was, and I'm not a Peyton Manning fan. So I mean,
I bet, man.
But I the argument can be made: who was in worse shape once they would have gotten to Denver, Peyton or Tony Romo? And it's close. I mean,
yeah, different kinds of problems.
Well, you know, the big rumor now is that. Tony Romo will play again in the NFL eventually because now he's out of the contract with Denver. He truly is a free agent, and
he can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants, and it might have been Schefter who floated the theory. Oh, maybe it was that damn Jay Glazer, now that I think about it.
That his contract had the
And he out. Said, right, and he said, you know, he'll do this NFL the broadcast, and then he'll see these lesser quarterbacks, and you know that's got to be rattling around in his brain right. when he's yes. watching, you know. There's probably only, I'm going to say, how many quarterbacks in the NFL better than Tony Romo?
This is exactly the question I right. wanted to get to.
Yeah,
what's the answer to this?
How many questions in the NFL on starting NFL teams are better
healthy
than Tony Romo?
Tony right? Romo.
Healthy Tony Romo. Healthy Tony. That's
say,
a tough one.
Where does he rank? 11?
I mean, didn't he almost arguably had a near MVP season in 14.
He's great sometimes.
Is that fair?
Yeah, well, see, yeah. that's the thing. Sometimes. He is great sometimes.
Nobody made more fun of Tony Romo than I did, but he had some bad luck. He had some high profile gaffes that were bad mm-hmm. timing. But
I'm
he's
gonna
a great
say,
quarterback.
I'm going to well, this is an easy one to defend. He's at least in the top half. He's at least he's sure. absolutely
okay.
in the top.
We
16.
All agree to that top half, yes. top yeah. 16.
But top 16. Here's my thing, Jeff. As a Patriots fan, your big argument is. How many playoff games you win? How many championships you have? Yes, that's one of the biggest barometers.
Well,
Tony Romo's won two playoff
that's
games.
That's why you play. Yeah. That's why you play the game and win.
He's won two he's playoff games. Bad.
Yeah, if you show his regular season stats, I mean he.
But it's
his regular season good. Are great.
Yeah,
but he's 10-ish, right? Healthy Tony Romo is the 10th best quarterback ish
now.
Yeah, right now. I think he's healthy.
I think Kirk Cousins is better than Tony Romo right now.
What?
You don't think Kirk Cousins is better than Tony Romo?
I'm just trying to hurt your feelings. But that's exactly.
Well, mission accomplished.
I'll give Romo
exactly
top 12.
The right neighborhood.
I'll
agree.
All right. I'll say 12.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Top 12. 10 feels a little too good. 12, yes. He could
right,
be 9.
Who you got? You got Brady. Brady, Rodgers.
Ryan.
Yeah, Matt yeah. Ryan.
Whatever.
Hello.
Maddie.
Russell Wilson's a better quarterback
Maddie
than Tony Romo.
Ice.
There's about 10.
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers is better. Yes, yes, yes.
He's, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Oh, okay. I can't have an opinion. Is that
he's
right?
had an average team around him for a while.
Always.
Since LT left.
Fibbert's looking at me going, Phillip, come on. Don't be stupid. Phillip Rivers is better. Okay. Who else? Vikings don't have a quarterback.
true.
Bears don't have a quarterback.
Andy Dalton's a better quarterback than Tony Romo.
Flacco.
You elite. Really want to say that?
I think that's the neighborhood that he's
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Dalton, Kirk right. Cousins, Jay Cutler.
He's not as good as Andrew Luck.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not.
Right.
Well, that's – well, now you're on another topic. How much longer does Andrew Luck have to labor?
Just signed a deal a year ago.
With his surroundings and try to win football games.
Well, he's that's got a new GM, what, that's so what he's it'll get better.
That's his job. He's got to do it.
Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford is the right neighborhood.
Matthew Stafford is – I think Matthew Stafford's in
– Ben Roethlisberger's better than Tony Romo?
Yes. But Ben Roethlisberger –
He's doing it again.
Ben Roethlisberger has weapons around him. You know what I mean?
True.
He's always had weapons around him.
True.
I agree. But
Andy Dalton has one of the best weapons.
AJ Green is a
what about
monster.
Flacco?
Flacco's real streaky,
Flacco
too.
Flacco just does that chuck and pray.
But he's always been benefited by good defense, I felt.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, I think you're all caught up with Ray Lewis, though.
Maybe. So we agree. There's like six-ish guys that are instantly, we all agree, are better than Tony Romo. And then there's like 15 guys that he's in the mix with.
Sure. And then another 12 that suck.
Jared Goff. Yeah. What about Jared Goff?
Tom Savage.
All right. Here's a legit question. Right now, healthy Tony Romo better than Dak Prescott? Right now.
About him.
Wait a minute.
He's a better quarterback.
Healthy
than Dak
Tony Romo better than a healthy Dak Prescott.
Right.
That's a hard thing to judge because how good is that team around them? Because
damn good.
Damn good.
Crazy good offensive line. Makes
that's
them good.
The thing. That's the thing.
Now they got a crazy good running back, too.
Well, but
one of the best wideouts. It's a good situation. Jason Witten's going to play for 40 more years.
Do you expect a sophomore slump from them?
What an asshole.
I do, actually.
Jason Witten, not Kostocki.
Thanks. Good clarification.
Thanks.
Dinner's still on.
But this – absolutely. This gets me to my NBA question.
All right. Not interested.
Why?
Well, yeah, you're a Hawks fan.
Why? What's wrong with the Hawks? Hawks came out of nowhere.
The ratio, and I'm probably going to say this right, but the ratio of quality of team to fans giving a crap.
Oh, no. Atlanta.
They've always had a playoff team every year.
Atlanta's been very bad.
Atlanta is an incredibly unique sports town. No. Atlanta, you can't get anybody
the
to
the Hawks make the playoffs every year.
You can't. You can't.
No, I think I'm agreeing.
But the fans won't. The fans won't show up.
Right.
No fans for the Hawks. No fans for the Falcons.
And even
no fans for the Braves unless they're in the World Series.
And even then, like, you can get playoff tickets to the Braves for all those years.
What the hell?
No problem.
No, absolutely. Unless the Braves were in the World Series they won their division every year.
They're transients, Atlantans. And to be fair, like, when you go see, I think we talked about this once before. Like, if you go to Fenway Park, not only is it an amazing place, but when the game's over, you get dumped out into one of the great cities of the world, and it's super cool.
It's a cool party.
All the Atlanta sporting venues are in places you would never fucking go ever. And then when the game's over, you have to get the hell out of town before somebody kills you. They're not in good areas.
I always guess the place, but I'm not a partier. I don't think, but like Buckhead, is that the place to go in Atlanta to party?
Yeah, Buckhead's nice. Buckhead? Nowhere near the sporting.
Right, exactly.
Yes, yeah. Right.
The mall.
They've done a better job. The Falcons are actually kind of turned it around. They've been a lot more open, and they're building a brand new, gorgeous place.
It's going to be new.
Isn't SunTrust Stadium in the suburbs now?
The Braves are moving to the suburbs.
Yeah,
yes.
They just opened their park last night.
That actually, I think, will be an improvement. I don't know the answer to that.
I think so. Yeah.
Did you see where the Atlanta Braves merchandise truck tipped over on the interstate and dumped
the top foam tomahawks?
Dumped thousands of foam tomahawks onto the interstate.
I have one of those.
And no one cared.
And no one cared.
No one cared about
Big Head Sports made a good point about that. He goes, does anyone in Atlanta not own one of these already?
I own one. Yeah.
You have one?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the mascot was named Chief Nakahoma. And he had a teepee out.
And when they hit home runs.
He would do a home run rain dance.
I know this because... When the Braves, it must have been Dale Murphy, when they were on WTCG Channel 17 in Atlanta,
right?
It was the original cable bonus channel that everybody
WSB or whatever.
And now then it went to TCG Turner Communications Group became Turner Broadcasting System, and now it's TBS.
Ah.
But I started watching the Braves and the Hawks because it seemed like exotic being in. Well, I was in West Virginia at the time, and it's like, oh my God, this is
right.
And I became
I think there's still Braves fans all over the place because of that.
Yeah, Skip Carey would do the Braves and the Hawks rock and Dan Roundfield and all those guys. Man, that was anyway. My point about the NBA is James Harden or Russell Westbrook. Evidently, they're going to be the MVP of the league.
Russell gets it.
Because of the triple doubles,
and Harden doesn't play defense.
I don't get the triple double. I don't get it. I don't care.
You don't care about the triple double?
No, I don't.
I don't really know. I think basketball it's a
step
well.
Off.
It's just like a.
Well, we settled that.
It's like a foamy soft stat that doesn't mean anything.
Foamy.
Just like a mess of a. Well, you got another triple double. So what? How many games have they won?
That means you're a well-rounded player.
Yeah, but
that's a cool stat. Really? You know, like
no.
That stat?
What about the championship? What's he going to do with the championship ring? He's going to win this year.
Well, he's not because he doesn't have any of the players. Kevin Durant left, and hey, I'm going to trade Russell for three more dudes.
When Kevin Durant was there, though,
what they tried.
The championship.
It's just like the days there were great teams. The Pacers are great, but you know, the Bulls were better back in the 90s.
Yeah, but nobody was making a big deal out of this triple-double thing.
No one was making triple-doubles back then.
I don't. Why is it such a big stat?
It's a well-rounded player stat.
I don't get it. We had and it even irritated me more.
Does he even know what it is?
What game? Rebounds, assists, and points, jerk face. The point. Oh, well, actually, blocks can be in there too,
and
right?
Steals.
Anything. You could have a quadruple double.
Well, why isn't he doing that? Because
he doing enough?
Last week, evidently, he had like 8 or 9 assists or something, and he was madly trying to get the ball and have somebody make a basket so he could get his triple double.
You just don't like Russell Westbrook, I don't think.
No,
he looks like an alien.
No, no, yeah, I don't like the way he looks.
You know what? Here's the thing that impresses me more about him is I think he's blown out both of his ACLs.
Is that right? Both knees?
Yeah, he's post a couple traumatic surgeries.
Hmm. Well, now were they broken by teammates or
just playing ball, man?
Ball is life.
Is that your sticker on the back, your ball life?
Yep, ball is life.
Anyway, I don't get it, and I don't think.
So college football overtime, we established that's best.
Shut up. My point is LeBron James.
They should replace NBA basketball with college football overtime.
NBA playoffs are fun. I enjoy the playoffs.
I don't get it. I like that people are enjoying themselves, but I
don't,
think
I don't think the first round should be best of seven.
I agree.
Not at all.
I agree.
Yeah, and five. I don't think the NBA should be 82 games long. It's too long. And I think it should be maybe 62.
I looked this up today. Do you know how many total games there are in an NBA season leading up to the playoffs, the playoffs?
Anyway. But the NBA just set a new attendance record.
Yeah.
That amazes me. Almost
18,000 people.
On average.
There's a lot of good personalities in the NBA right now.
Right.
Don't you think the NBA is the one league that is player-driven? I mean, truly player-driven.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only...
How is the NFL driven?
Well, teams and the league. And
so you're people rooting for
teams?
I think it's more player because of fantasy football.
Maybe, but you don't know them as well. There are more of them. They're wearing their helmets. There's a different vibe.
Yeah.
They seem more... NBA players.
So to your point, like when LeBron went to the Heat, you're like, okay, people dropped the Cavs and went to the Heat, and now they're back to the Cavs kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, right?
I see your point, yeah.
I think so.
I think you're right about that.
I don't know.
First thing you're right about.
I just don't like it.
1 for 9.
What about the sudden?
Not a triple-double.
You really want the end... really wanted the Bengals and the Redskins in London, England...
Yes.
When they got to the end, you give them each the ball at the 25.
They tied. How terrible is that?
Oh,
come on.
It was horrible.
If you're going to try to not have a tie, freaking try to not do it.
Right.
You can do it. It builds so nicely because there's a strategy to it. Like you get the ball. You flip to see who gets to go second because that's the advantage. And then strategically, you got to figure out whether or not you're going to go for the touchdown or the field goal.
The team that goes second wins more often. So then there's
right.
whole system flawed.
Then you'll have that argument.
But then if it's a tie, then you go to the next one. They flip-flop it. And then if it's a tie for the third round, you have to go for two, and it builds and it builds. It's beautiful.
And then even if you score first and say it's third down, you can go all in on defense because if you stop them, it's over.
Right. One turnover,
it amps it all up. It's fun.
It's really fun.
No.
You know I'm right.
Overtime is dumb. I think after the fourth quarter, both teams should just tie because you couldn't do your job. It's done.
Okay.
You're both tied.
Here's a quiz. I may have said this. You may have known this from a prior thing.
Yep. Should still be
both
a tie?
Both teams win.
Both teams win. Well, that's nice.
Would you have cared for that?
Mentality.
About
everybody wins.
Ago?
In Aussie rules football, in their championship game,
that's
if it's a tie,
that's what you're deciding.
Do you know what happens if it's a tie? This is the coolest answer ever. Everyone guess. This is a fun game.
They skin and eat a kangaroo. Am I close?
No. Good guess.
Well, Australia's an island of felons and prisoners.
That's
so they
right.
probably shank each other and live in filth.
The coach with the longest tenure wins.
I thought you were going to say
wait a minute.
That's kind of fun.
They flip a coin, and whoever wins the coin flip wins the game.
That's a fun guess, too. No?
Lame.
Nope.
It's got to be something so
weird. It's the most amazing answer ever. And if they did that, then I would be on board.
Jeff?
I thought when Chick said the longest tenured coach, I thought he was going to say the coach with the longest dick. Just whip him out at midfield, boys.
It was Jason who said, my point is, whoever can eat the most Vegemite sandwiches at the end of the game. Whoever knows Colin Hayes' middle name.
You got to chug Foster's. It's the MCG holds 100,000 people. They are into it. They are completely obsessed with this game in their championship game, their Super Bowl. If it ends in a tie,
the most fans.
They play the entire game again the next week.
Oh, wow.
And it's happened twice in the last 40 years.
Wait a minute. Hold it. That's what I want to happen here.
Right?
We get an extra game, Jeff.
Why is the NFL doing that?
If at the end of this game, they're like, well, I guess we're going to have another Super Bowl next week.
They'd make another $200 million.
That's a great idea.
Although you don't want to give Belichick a week to get his shit together.
Wait a minute. Does the NFL know about this? You have another whole week of buildup? You have another whole week of money?
Are you kidding me? Oh. How much money they would make for a second Super Bowl?
So if they tie again?
And they could sell. They could have all those commercials again. That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be one hell of a week in sports talk.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you know, the game. So it's 17-17. You recall last week we had a tie here. Now right. This week we're going to do
they
it
play
again.
Play it again.
The whole game.
It's crazy.
So, and if it ties again?
I don't know. I guess they play again. If they don't have an overtime system.
You said it's
in
happened
place.
Twice?
It's happened twice in the modern era. And which is really unlikely in that game because it's a very high-scoring game. They end up like 106 to 97 or whatever.
Were you there? Did you watch this in person?
I've seen two live Aussie Rules games when I was in Melbourne. They're great. It's a beautiful game. It's 18 guys a side, and it's this giant oval that's twice the size of a regular football field.
It was the bread and butter of ESPN when they first came on the air, man. Right. It was on all the fucking time.
It's so fun to watch. It's a fluid sort of crazy.
And the referees
rugby.
Are cool when they come out and they have the hats and they give the point both at the ground.
Double shooter.
The double shooter at the ground.
That's a great game. It's a little bit ultimate frisbee, a little soccer, a little rugby. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Violent as hell. It's great.
And these guys are really accurate.
And no helmets. And
kick.
No.
Right.
Well, like, you know, they can't forward pass, but they can forward kick it to someone, right?
That's right.
Man, yeah. That's a great idea.
Play the Super Bowl again.
Super Bowl.
We would have won that shit, just so you know.
No. Not at all.
Super Bowl 51.
They would have had 7 days of meetings. Run the ball.
You've shown your hand.
You know, though, that when the Patriots beat the Falcons, when the Patriots beat the Seahawks, was it the Patriots winning the game or the other teams losing the game?
See, everyone is on the Seahawks for not running it. But
right.
Marshawn Lynch is not that great with 1 yard. He needs 3 to 4 yards to get going. It's like Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson has so many yards because he can break away. And once he gets out in space, he's so hard to bring down. Right. But Marshawn Lynch doesn't have the speed that a lot of these smaller backs have. So it's not.
He's never going to agree.
It's not a gimme. No, honestly, if it was any other team.
No, my argument is to support actually you, Jeff, is Butler made the play. Okay? That's all he can do. Made an amazing play. Yes, they called the wrong play. But he still had to do that.
I say, Butler, that was pass interference.
The other fascinating thing to me about this was that the talk was that the play call was bad, not the throw. Anyone else, you blame the quarterback for throwing a pick at the end of the game. Nobody blamed Russell Wilson ever. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's a great observation. Yeah.
It was always about Pete Carroll blew the game. Like, he threw a pick to close the Super Bowl. Yeah, all he had to do was not throw a pick.
About a yard to the other side of Malcolm Butler. How about that?
Right.
That might have been a completion. I made the argument that even if the Seahawks had scored a touchdown, it was still the worst call in the history of the National Football League. Just so odd.
It was odd.
But I didn't realize that about Marshawn, and you're right.
Which, 1 yard.
Once he gets going.
You think you'd run it. Yeah.
Once he gets going, he's tough to bring down.
Especially when you have Marshawn Lynch.
But Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson are those big backs. And like LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount for the Patriots, awful at 1 yard runs. Never give it to him. And they always do this hurry up, handoff, and it never works. So as a fan who has a big back on – or had, I guess, on their team.
I thought you were going to say big dick again.
As a fan who has a big dick. We got dicks on the brain.
As a fan who has a big dick. It seems like something you would say.
Yeah. As a fan, walk with a big dick. Something like that.
So what have we decided on? We're going to go to college rules and the NFL.
Yep. Or the Aussie rules.
Aussie rules, man.
Come back to London and play the game again.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Wow.
It is crazy that they have overtime for a short time, and then they're like, well, I guess it's a tie. Like, just fucking don't have a tie. We're Americans.
See,
we don't like ties.
Thing.
What are you doing?
I thought the regulars – didn't they used to do this? The regular season NFL, they wouldn't let end in a tie either. They'd keep playing, right? Or has it always been –
No, they're always,
only one quarter.
I feel like there have been ties. Yeah, they're rare, but they do it. Yeah, there's ties. You see it in the.
You know
records.
What else? You know what else they shouldn't have changed? They shouldn't have changed the extra point distance.
I love it.
They just kick it the way we
Could
always
you be
used to
more
kick
old fashioned.
I know.
I'm just telling you. And there should still be force outs. Okay, and. Another thing.
No, I think the tweaks they've made have been pretty good. The receivers tend to have an advantage already. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the rules, so to give that then back to the
– And it makes it clearer to make the call.
Makes it clearer for the refs.
Right. I'm okay with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big judgment call to go, oh, no, he would have come down.
He would have. Well, how do you
– It happened right. like that. Yeah, you know gravity that well.
That's a fun strategy, the force out.
Yeah.
Yeah, push them out.
Remember the days when we didn't – we didn't have instant replay, then we had instant replay, then we didn't have instant replay again, and then they went back to having instant replay. Remember that? Yeah, there was
– What era was that?
There was a window like we didn't have instant – obviously. And then they started it, and I want to say it was out – maybe 5 years, and then they stopped it for like 2 seasons. I'm pretty sure.
Huh. I don't know that.
But the point somebody made was, well, even though we're not using instant replay right now, everybody has instant replay at home on their TVs. Yeah. So
don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up, and it's horrible the way you're doing it. I'm not sure what
– Can we establish what a catch is, please? That's the only thing left for them to get right, I think, broadly. I'm annoyed by the overtime, but I understand.
No, I think the Calvin Johnson one in Green Bay, that was probably the worst.
That's
call
the worst
I've
one
ever seen.
And then there was a Dez Bryant one.
Dez Bryant
was
kind of started it.
I don't think that was a catch.
Dez Bryant was in Green Bay.
You're so anti-Cowboys.
No. Yeah, I hate him.
Calvin Johnson in Chicago.
Hate him.
Me too. I have a fantasy league where we are not allowed to have any Cowboys. Did you know that? That's true. It's been that way for like 15 years.
I did not know that. Yeah. That's a great point.
From 92 to 98 was a dark period of instant replay.
I didn't think it was that long.
86 to 92, there was.
86. So 0 to 86, no instant replay. 86 to 92, instant replay. 92 to 98, no instant replay.
Wow. Right?
And because of, I'm guessing, public outcry, they brought it back.
What happened before 0? 0. That's the beginning.
Are you implying that I was around?
I got it.
First
I got
of all,
it.
And secondly,
I just think it's funny that you started that with 0.
Kostaki, we don't.
You know, we don't question. We don't.
We don't make fun of Mr. McGee on his podcast.
We don't make fun of Mr. McGee, and we don't question him on my podcast.
What kind of fucking rule is that? I reject that.
I could have said the beginning.
The Canadian Football League didn't start using it till 2006.
Wait a minute. What's the Canadian Football League?
The CFL.
What's the Canadian Football League overtime system?
Oh, God. I don't know, and I don't care.
Let's look it up. Right. Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you like me?
Do they have anything better in their game?
I like the size of the end zone.
I was going to say, end zone depth is kind
of
cool.
I love the size of the end zone. Yeah. Man.
Can't you catch it off of bounds? Like you get one bounce in Canada,
you're drunk.
I think you're close on the punt thing.
That's funny. They have one fewer down, right?
Yeah,
it's more of a passing game.
Yeah, third down is fourth down up there. Yeah.
How about the halo rule? Since we're talking about rules that have changed over the last 10, 15 years, they eliminated that.
Like a punt catch.
Yeah, I like.
I'm okay
with
that.
It used to be. It was such a lame. Nope, flag. He was too close to him. It was so lame.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I like a guy getting right in his face. I'm like, all right, you better catch it.
Well, I think the defenseless, the hit on the defenseless receiver, that's football. They should do away with that, too.
All right, you go out there.
I'm okay with that.
That's every. You know what? They did it for decades, and sure.
It's part of the game.
There's brain injuries out there, but the point is.
Sure. I'm entertained.
Are you not entertained?
Okay, so you've establish where you are in a lot of these. Where are you actually with instant replay?
I'm like any NFL fan. I want them to get it right. I mean, but sometimes they, when presented with absolute ironclad evidence that still doesn't go there, sometimes they get it. They still get it wrong. But
yeah. But does it bog down the game?
No,
It's already plotting at a.
Well, you know what they're talking about. They're
glacial pace anyway.
Slow game.
You're going to be able to challenge any call, anything holding, offside.
I agree
anything.
With that actually, because it's weird that some things are challengeable.
Well,
and some
but
aren't.
Some things are a judgment call, and you take the referee's complete.
Well, let's watch it and judge it in slow motion.
But
when
they don't
you can get it right.
They don't have unlimited challenges though, right?
I don't know what the rule's going to be. I don't know.
Because if there's an unlimited challenge, it's going to take forever.
Because they're doing a lot
it's
of rules
be limited.
Changes.
Yeah, it's got to be but limited.
I kind of like the instant replay where they go under the hood and they look. They're doing away with that. But They go into the hood and look, and it's like a little soap opera, a little drama.
There are no more hoods. They're going to have they're going to have iPads, and this sounds like a joke, but it's not. Or Microsoft Surface or whatever.
Some faceless guy in New York City is going to decide.
Did you hear the rumor about the Surface, though? They were all iPads in the Surface cases.
I've heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof.
But and then they're going to go to New York and talk to – well, not Dean Blandino because he resigned.
He just quit.
He said, fuck this. I'm out. He gone, Jason.
I have an answer for the CFL.
Oh, overtime?
Overtime.
They play it again next week?
It's
I love that
it's
rule.
It's college rules, but from the 35-yard line, not the 25.
Because it's awesome. That's why they do it that way.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I'd be more swayed if we're going to change it anyway.
If it was further
and
away,
it's already fucked. I say we start it at the 50.
Yeah,
if we're going to do it, let's start at the 50.
I agree with that.
That sounds more like a grown man's NFL game.
Because NFL,
Kostocki, you know nobody in college can cover. Okay, you know that. All right, don't talk to me. Right.
If you start at the 25,
Deion Sanders played college.
And he didn't cover. He just ran around in the back, did whatever the fuck he wanted.
If you start at the 25, NFL kickers can already kick it from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to start at 50.
Yeah, fair point. Oh, for me to poop on.
I'd love to get Schmeichel on the podcast. Man.
I said that to him one time.
Yeah, I remember saying
that. I was at a gathering.
Did he look at you like, shut the fuck
up? You know what? It was weird because as I finished saying it, I was like, oh, God, please don't. Why did I?
I'm entering the fanboy zone.
I know. And yeah. I finished it, and he actually laughed, and I go, I'm so sorry, man. You almost hear that all the time. And he goes, no, nobody knows who I am. It's so great to hear.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Oh, that's cool as hell.
So he's got like radio fame where he doesn't get recognized. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of cool.
Who'd you say? Sorry, I wasn't.
Robert Schmeichel.
Triumph
the Insult Comic Dog.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
He was an SNL writer.
Yeah.
He was on the Bobby Conan show.
He came on.
In
He's
Nashville?
A crazy genius. That
yeah. Is he the ambiguously gay duo
yep.
thing? Cartoon.
Same guy.
Yeah, that was part
Same
of it.
That was so funny when I was 10. Yeah.
Do you know who did Gary and what was the other guy's name of the ambiguous the superhero?
Sir than A?
Gary and Ace. Know. Ace and Gary. It was Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah.
Really? That's an interesting pair.
Isn't that weird? Well, they were like...
Oh, wow.
They were like together, you know. And
he helped Robert Smigel, the Hotel Transylvania movies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Adam Sandler.
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't know he did that. Those were good movies, too.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed them. Well, let's not get carried
away. Well, you know, with your kids, they're fun. But they're not just... Yeah, anyway. Are we done? You got something to read
over there.
Are
we done?
Jesus.
Do you remember that chick remember when we had a co-host in when Bob was out a lot?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, and you were in. It was like 9 o'clock. Remember that?
And Kostocki
was in
around.
For 3 hours with
Kostocki
us.
Kostocki looked around and goes, you guys do this for 4 hours every day?
We're not done?
We're not done?
Another hour?
What he meant to say was... Chick, tell me about audible.com. Well, I will. Thank you very much. You know, the Chick McGee Show is brought to you today by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/chick. You'll have access to over 180,000 titles for your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, your MP3 player. For you listeners of the Chick McGee Show, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out audible.com. Have you read Audible? I got The Murder of Sonny Liston.
Oh.
Great book.
Really? I might get that. I'm an Audible customer.
See, what happens is Sonny Liston is murdered. Or was he?
See, you
don't know.
Is.
Yeah, you don't know.
Good teaser.
It's a mystery. What do you think of that?
My mind's blown.
I met Gary Vee this week.
Stephen King.
He's got a book on there.
Does he really?
Yeah, a big motivational book. Hmm. Really cool dude.
Stephen King has a great book on writing. It's called Stephen King on Writing.
What?
That's the name of it. What else? Oh, John Cleese has a great book. His autobiography's on there. Mm-hmm. They're all great. Audible.com. Go there. Audibletrial.com/chick and 180,000 titles to choose from.
That's him.
You get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial.
Did you wear that hat on purpose today, Jeff? No, we might have Kostaki. Yeah.
I had no idea. I did not know we had a podcast until this
morning. We haven't done one all week.
I know.
What is that? Is that a Tom
Brady? I just didn't know when you were getting back.
Yeah, it's his logo.
I didn't know when you were getting back.
I got to be honest. I didn't know we were doing a podcast today either. That's audibletrial.com/party.
Partiers, the doers,
hey. Business,
business,
the artists, the workers. Okay,
no. Someone's got a party.
Gotta support them.
You know what Atlas did?
Whatever.
That's him shrugging.
You can get that book on Audible.
You can get Atlas Shrugged on Audible. Yeah, woo. You can find out about the workers and the partiers. And the...
I enjoyed that. Thanks, Kostaki.
Come see Kostaki and us tonight, or me. How many people am I talking about? Kostaki and I will be at, and two other guys, right?
That's correct.
If you listen in the next 3 or 4 hours, you might be able to figure it out.
Might be able to turn this around.
Vincennes, Indiana, at the Heathwood Arms. What is it?
Look it up.
Yeah.
Go to Kostaki.com and click something. I don't know what the name of the place is.
And tomorrow you're in?
I'm in Logansport at the theater there in town. And I got a new album, and you can pre-order it now.
Pre-order Kostaki's album on iTunes.
And you save some money.
Chick will retweet that for you.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Chick, as your agent, you don't have to do that.
Thank you, Jeffrey. If you want me to retweet something, check with Jeffrey.
It would be very helpful. I'll have to talk to your people.
I might even put it on Instagram.
This was fun. I like you guys. I like your new digs.
Isn't this nice? I put all these stickers up myself. The foam stickers.
You don't have a name for these either.
Murderers.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, no, a sonic foam. I don't know.
Oh, I like that.
What are they called?
Yes. How many years collectively in radio or in this room, no one knows what the foam things are called?
I got four.
44. Jason, 20?
Something like that.
They're blowing 60, the curve, Vibbert.
64.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Well, egg cartons? What do they call the foam stuff you stick up on
I called them sound eater-uppers.
I called them murderers. They kill the sound.
These are experts.
Murderers, they kill the
radio
sound.
Radio experts.
Kostaki.com. What are you on Twitter?
@ Funny Kostaki.
Well, I guess you can name.
You can judge Twitter. It on your own.
Yeah, you whatever you'd like.
Whatever you want.
Instagram is Kostaki. What is it, Mr. Kostaki? What is it?
I think it's just Kostaki Economopoulos.
Oh, because I thought it was Cookie something.
What?
Because it was Kostaki, Kostakie.
No, it goes into the
Economopoulos.
Next name.
Yeah, it all runs
that's
together.
That's true. You're right.
That's his Instagram. Okay, we're going to go. Thank you for listening to the Chick McGee Show. And we'll see you tonight in Vincennes or tomorrow night in Logansport with Kostaki. And
Chick will not be in Logansport, just to clarify.
And we'll be at some Gilbert's restaurant. What's the name of that?
That might be a 9-minute swing. Anyone?
The Chick McGee Show from Podcast One. Good night, everybody.
Earn 4x gas reward points during the Safeway Anniversary Sale. Look for the shelf tags for the participating items and get great anniversary prices and earn gas reward points too. This week, shop with your club card and pick up Gatorade 8-pack 20-ounce selected varieties 2 for $9 plus CRV. And Lay's potato chips 7.75 to 8 ounces 2 for $5. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. See complete details at Safeway.com.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows 2 of the 3 people who were killed that day.
I have lost 3 great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail, and then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The 2 Virginia State troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.